Okay, so I'm recording this so that I can put it on my website, because I'll talk about why you should do that. And I'm hoping the recording will work okay. If it does, you will be able to get the audio in all of its hi-fi glory shortly, whenever I get it up there. So I'll start off, the way I'm structuring this, I don't have handouts. I'm going to put all my slides on my website. In fact, they're already there, and that's where I'm getting them from. And I'll tell you how to get to them, all that sort of stuff. And the reason I don't have a lot of that sort of stuff and the slides aren't particularly slidey is that I want you to ask questions at any point, and we can take this off in any direction that interests you over the course of the thing. Of course, I have a direction I want it to go in, and since I'm standing at the front, I get to push a little harder than the rest of you, but we'll see how that goes. So feel free to ask questions at any time. Probably raise your hand. You know, I don't want it to turn into Parliament or everything where people are yelling at a great opportunity. The Ottawa people will like that. So I'll start off asking a question. How many of you have a website already?
I have a domain, but I haven't done it.
Okay. So you don't really have a website, but you're on the way.
Yeah.
Okay. So why are you here?
I didn't make it myself.
Okay. So you have a website. That's a good thing to do. Do any of you understand what my shirt is about?
No.
Yes.
Okay. Sort of. Okay, I'll get to that. No, because that's not what it's about. So you will understand what this shirt is about by the end of the... this is Jean. She's from BC. She helped organize the whole conference. Yay! We all just introduced ourselves, so I had to bring you in.
Well, now we just stopped the meeting.
Yeah. So you will understand what this shirt is about very shortly, but I wore it for a reason. Yes?
Is it a reference to
No.
Can I say?
You can if you want.
RSS is really simple syndication, so it's a way to get a feed from your website so that when you put a change up, it gets broadcast to everybody who subscribes.
If you look carefully on the conference website, you'll see one right there.
And do you happen to know the SFP password so that...
I'll give you the piece of paper. I'm probably not supposed to, but I don't think they'll actually kill me.
Thank you.
So it's there. Anybody else have a laptop they're running? No, don't worry about it. Okay. So anyway, yeah, that's the microphone. I'm recording it, and I put it on my website. I already said that. So you know, here's the site. I will encourage you to, if you have access to the web or whatever else, to check this periodically over the course of the conference in case something else like this happens, something gets canceled or moved or rescheduled. It should get posted up there with any luck. And that would be one way to get a hold of that. And if you subscribe to this RSS feed, you would get it automatically. I'll get to that in a minute. I'm just going to show you some of the websites I'm involved in, which will explain why I'm talking about this, because I'm involved in way too many websites. This is obviously the conference website, which I helped build. This is the main EAC website with my little... you are at the website... meeting by the website workshop, if that's not the right one. So I manage the BC section here. So not the whole website, but this bit here. This is my own website at penmachine.com. This is where I'll put links to my slides and stuff. I'll probably have a shortcut like penmachine.com/conference. I'll make that up at the end and make it happen later. This is my employer, Maverick, who's generously letting me take the afternoon off to come here. We make software for ocean shipping companies, and the software runs on the web. They're web applications that, you know, little tiny companies like Shell Oil and other ones like that use to help manage their cargoes and arrange which ships go where and how much money they owe to other people and other people owe to them. And this company's about 6 years old, and we're here just by Science World in Vancouver. One of the things I do on here is write all the posts in the company's daily blog, which the company has, and not a lot do. And, of course, we have RSS feeds, and I will explain that. This is another one for my band. This is me here in my costume. There's also a whole bunch of other photos you can get at. Let's see. This is my favorite one from this year. That's me. This is another one I've recently got involved with called Inside Home Recording. Because I'm a musician, I've also recently started co-hosting this program, which basically looks at how to record stuff at home, audio things. So I'm involved in a whole bunch of those things. And I'll link to all that stuff. And we need developers as my work, so that's why I posted that. Okay, so let's get all that out of the way. Here's my actual slides. One thing I will say about these slides is they're not in PowerPoint. They are, in fact, one web page. Blah, 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 with a bunch of stuff in it that's got some tricky stuff going on that makes it look like slides. So this is actually on my website. It's not on this computer. It's not on that computer. I'm just going to my website. So you will be able to go to these slides, and they will be exactly the ones that I used for here. I don't know how much sense they will make, but you could listen to the audio or page along if you want. It does anything for you. So again, my website's here. Website for the conference is here. Pen machine. Sorry. If I'm blocking, please let me know. So you can click there. I will have links to these slides on penmachine.com tonight. So what I'm here to talk about is building your own website in 15 minutes or less and then making it work. Now, why we scheduled 3 hours to talk about something that's supposed to take 15 minutes, you'll find out. I'm going to talk around the subject, but we actually are going to build a website in 15 minutes. We might even do two. We'll see. Okay. So, I'm going to just do it. I'm going to go through the building the website, and then I'm going to talk about why you'd want to do that. I mean, I presume most of you could figure some of that out, but I'm going to go get into the meat of it and actually do it. If any of you were at the February meeting of the BC branch, presumably any of the people from Ottawa and Indiana and Prince Edward Island weren't, but or if you listened to the version of it I put on the web, you will have heard some of this before. Sorry you had to pay money this time. But there will be other stuff that you didn't hear. So there are many, it used to be, when I first talked to EAC about websites about 3.5 years ago, it wasn't that easy to do, and my recommendation at the time was you really need a website, and you probably need to hire somebody to make one for you. Not for a lot of money, something really basic. That's no longer true. In fact, it wasn't even really true then, but it's gotten easier. And the key thing that you need to do in order to make this happen is to, and this is difficult because I know you're all editors, you have to let go of the perfectionism. You have to be less type A about it. You have to, because the thing about a website is, if you want it to be perfect before it goes up, you'll never have one. You're never going to have a website if you're waiting for it. And in fact, this is, even big companies have discovered this. You can't sort of say, okay, we're going to relaunch our website. We're going to rebuild the whole thing. In fact, EAC did this, and it took like, what, 4 or 5 years to get anything to happen? And then when I looked at it, I saw a whole bunch of stuff that was wrong in many, especially technical ways, but it's too late now because they did it all in one big blob, and so we just got to live with it. So that's the problem, is that if you want to do it all, and you know, if you want to make your ideal editor's website, it ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen that way. So the way you do it is you just do it, sort of like many other things in life. If you just start... in fact, I was discussing with somebody on the web, not really in person, yesterday. They were asking, you know, what when people talk about a learning curve, I mean, they say a steep learning curve or a shallow learning curve, what does that really mean? Because if you think of a steep learning curve, ideally, if something's a really steep learning curve for something, it's really hard to do and figure it out, but once you've got it, you're done, and it should happen really fast. And the shallow learning curve might take a really long time. And I think websites are more like a shallow learning curve. I don't think the analogy is that good, but you can start right away. A shallow learning curve is, a steep learning curve is, for example, learning to tie your shoes when you're 6. It's really hard when you're 6, but once you've got it figured out, you're done. Once you've figured out how to tie your shoes, you've figured it all out. So the learning curve is really steep and short. A shallow learning curve is, here's a good example for me, learning to play the guitar. You can find out how to make a note on a guitar and maybe play a couple chords fairly quickly. But there are people who spend their whole lives trying to get good at it. Websites are more like that. You can get a website together really fast now, and it'll be good enough. And that's what my thing for you is. good enough is good enough. It's better to have something than nothing. Because if you have nothing, all that will come up is whatever people happen to find out about you on Google, and that might not be what you want. So, anyway, here are some examples of ways that are really easy to build a website. I'm going to show you the first two, and the other ones I'll just discuss. Blogger is a website which is owned by Google, which, if you look at it, it says, create your blog now. Basically, create yourself a website right now, and I'll show you how to do it in 3 steps, but not yet. I'm used to the Mac, so I'm not sure what the keyboard commands are. All right, I guess I gotta do this the other way. Alt left arrow. Okay, fine. All right, so Blogger's one. WordPress is another one. My blog, it's free. Have a go, set it up. Get one right now. There's big buttons that show you that. So we'll get to that too. There are other ones. There's a service, Canadian service actually, called Domain Direct, which has a more confusing website. Essentially, it's a way to get yourself a domain, and they'll set up the website for you, and you can start a blog and do all sorts of stuff.
So what's the difference between getting a blog and getting a website?
Good question. There is no difference. A blog is a website. Not every website is a blog, but every blog is a website. And I think you should have a blog because it really all a blog is a website that's really, really, really easy to update. So you don't have. It used to be that you had to, go in and edit your website manually, and you had to know all the code, and you had to write stuff, and know how to get it on the server. A blog, basically, you usually either you run a program or you sign into a website and you type something and you say publish and you're done. And that's all. And what that means is usually a blog is a website where there's a bunch of sort of discrete articles or posts, and the most recent one is at the top, which is convenient for people coming to your website. So my website is, in fact, exactly that. In fact, I think all those websites I showed you. Oops. Thank you. I should set up 4ws.penmachine.com. So mine is exactly that. If you go to my homepage, this is what I talked about today, and this is what I talked about yesterday, and these are what I talked about 2 days ago, and this is what I talked about last week. It goes on and on.
You can hook up links and everything to your blog.
Yeah. You can, in fact, I'll show you how that works, but any blog, I mean, a blog is a website. It's a web blog, it's a web journal, it's whatever it is. But it's a website, and it's just a really easy website. So my point today is to get yourself a website in 15 minutes, you should set up a blog. Because it's a way for you to publish stuff in a structured format that people can read easily and get at easily, and you don't have to do a whole bunch of work to make it work. The problem with websites the old-fashioned way is you get to be all type A about it. You can make it any way you want, provided you have all the technical skills and ridiculous patience and all the time in the world. So you all have that, right? Okay, good. So if you have all the time in the world and you want to learn all the programming code and you want to build your website exactly the way you want it without having to hew to anybody's standards about how a website should be put together or at least being able to control it entirely yourself, then you can just go do it manually. If you actually want to get one done, we'll make you a blog, and that's what we're going to do today. So I'm just throwing these out. All these links, again, are on my website, so... something that's fairly recent is Apple iWeb is actually a piece of software, if you have a Mac, that you can buy. Comes as part of the iLife suite. Comes on all the new Macs. And it's a way to make a website. It's not actually a very good way, in my opinion, because it ties you to a particular machine. Most websites and blogs, you can edit them from anywhere. You can go to any internet cafe. I'm going to do it here on this machine, which is not mine. And you can do that anywhere. So it's very convenient. You can go to your friend's house and update your website. Software like iWeb, and there's other ones that are called like Userland Radio, and there's a few other ones that need a piece of software that you're running on your computer, and usually they enslave you to your particular computer. And if you don't have your computer with you, you can't actually update your website, which is a pain. Yes?
What people editing your website?
Well,
is
not accessible.
It's there, but it still needs a password.
Oh.
You can't, it's just like checking your email on Hotmail. You know, not everybody, it's there, and you can get it from anywhere. There are websites that, it's called a wiki, but we won't talk about that necessarily. There are websites that anybody can edit, and that has a whole other social component that we won't talk about today. There are other services, GoDaddy, Typepad, netferms.ca is one I'll talk about in a little bit. There's hundreds of ones. The first two are the easiest, and they're the ones I'm going to show you today. But there's lots of ways that you can get a website together really easily. So the question, of course, is what is a website? We already kind of addressed this. Really, all a website is a bunch of text files, just like you would create by save as text out of Microsoft Word or Notepad or text edit on a Mac or whatever, just like they are on your computer. They're just sitting on a disk on your computer somewhere. But they're sitting on a computer that's probably in some rack in a building like this one, actually. If there's a big server facility on the 7th or 8th floor of this building, which in fact is where some of the stuff for my work runs. And they have all the diesel generators and backup power and all this stuff so that the website's always running. But it's basically a computer in a rack plugged in with a cable in the back, just like this one, and there are text files on there. And all that happens is when you go to a website and say, I want to go to www.penmachine.com, your computer over the internet says to this computer, hey, I want whatever's at www.penmachine.com. And that computer says, well, if you don't ask for anything else, I give you this particular file, which is usually called index.html or something. And it sends it over the wire to your computer, and your computer looks at that text file and says, well, somebody's written this up so that I'm supposed to put these words on the page, and it's pointing to this image over here, and it wants things in these colors, and so I will make it so. So until your computer gets it, or your phone, or your whatever device, it's just a text file that might point to some other files, and your computer assembles them all together into a page that you can see. And that's all a web page is, and all it has ever been, and all it will, and there may be other things it's connected to. So it's really not that complicated. It's just words, letters of various sorts on a page. And if you look at what, if you've ever done this, view page source or view source, you see something like this. This is the text file that your computer gets. And it gets all, anything in these angle brackets is basically, that's telling it, the computer should read this, but it, no people should see this. And you get down through all the various crap that the computer's dealing with, blah, 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 blah. Looks very confusing, but if you start figuring this out, you don't need to, but it's not that complicated. And then you see some actual words, and you notice that there's like a P here. That means start the paragraph. And then if you get to the end, there's a slash P, and that's telling the computer, end the paragraph. That's about as complicated as it is. So when the text file does that, that means when it gets to the end of the paragraph, it's all crap. That's one of my posts. So that's how this gets generated. And that's all a website really is. And so we get back to the slide, which asks, what's a blog? And a blog is just a website that's really easy to update. What it means is somebody else has written some program so that you don't have to write all that crap. You don't have to write all the brackets and all that. You just type what you want to say, and it drops that into some pre-formatted crap that will display a web page out of it. Now we get to my T-shirt, which says, feed, for the microphone, it says, feed me, RSS, on it. And what you will see is on quite a number of websites these days, and in fact, usually on almost any blog that you generate, even automatically, you get something like one of these symbols, an orange sort of broadcast thingy, something that says RSS or XML. It's usually orange. There's no good reason for that. The internet works like this a lot. It's a lot like English, actually. Whoever first made something up, it becomes the standard. So somebody had this feed thing, which I'll discuss, and one guy said, you know, I really should have a button for this. Can somebody make me a button? And the first guy said, oh, okay, well, here's your button. And he made it orange, so it was easy to see on the page. And there it is. That's what it's become. Sorry?
Dutch person.
Perhaps. Or Ukrainian. You know, the Orange Revolution in Ukraine.
Oh, yeah. Most recent.
Yeah.
Or any cause.
Or Florida Orange Board or something.
Yeah. Or whatever. It just, I think it's mostly because it was just, oops, we're not starting our timers yet. So you will see on various pages some variation of this. All it is it's actually a slightly different form of that same kind of messy text we were looking at before. If we come over to my page, you will see, mine are a little bit tiny, but you see up here that same little symbol. If you actually click on it, it looks like garbage, but it's a different format. And it's, instead of HTML, which is the hypertext markup language that you would normally get on a web page, this is called XML, which is extensible markup language. Essentially, it's a different computer language. And it's a way, it's a computer language. XML is basically just a way that web and computer people figured out to make a text file that you could basically, it's for exchanging data between one computer and another. And the file itself, or another file that it talks to, says what it's about. So that, for example, my company, Navarik, when we work with companies like Shell, they have a ship that is going to be going somewhere, and they generate a voyage information document in their huge mainframe system in London or the Netherlands or Houston that says, you know, here is this ship. They convert it into this XML language, which goes over the internet to our computers, which are basically just website computers. And our computer, because it's formatted in this structured way, is able to interpret that and say, oh, it's a voyage. Now we can add a voyage into our system. Similarly, this, another use of this is that RSS thing we're talking about. Really simple syndication. A few years ago, yet again, the same guy who asked for the button, his name's Dave Weiner, said, it would be really nice if I didn't have to go to every single web page that I'm interested in to see if there's anything new. Because if you look at dozens or hundreds of websites that you like, it's a pain to go, oh, well, okay, maybe I'll check out, I'll check out this guy's site and this girl's site and this other person's site, and I haven't checked this one in a while, and somebody doesn't update their site in 3 months, and you just forget about it. What RSS lets you do is it from your website, you can generate one of these XML files. And anytime you do something new, it adds a chunk of text in there saying, there's something new here, and it has a date saying this is when it was updated. And people can subscribe to that so that if I have it in my subscription list, I have a program. There's various ways to do this, but I just have a program that's like an email program. And in fact, you can even do this inside Outlook with a plugin that just keeps track. Every once in a while, it asks that website, is there anything new? And if there is, it grabs it, and you see it there, and it's bold-faced, just like a new email message. So you're able to keep track of, for example, I look at hundreds of websites, and even if one hasn't updated itself in 6 months, when it does, I know, and then I can read it. So that's very convenient. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff you can do with this. You can republish things on other sites. You can glom things together to get a bunch of things on one site. In fact, even on my employer site, why is it doing that? Okay, so on my site, you'll look on the front page, there's this thing that says news, and these are the latest sort of news items. But we didn't actually write a program to grab them from the other part of the website over here. They're coming from here. This is the full-on version of each of those posts. This is a blog that's generated out of some software. It makes itself a little RSS feed, which looks like this. And what we did is we just said, we could, just have it published in two places, or we could write some software to extract things. We didn't do that. We just took some pre-baked piece of software and said, okay, well, let's take the stuff from the blog, from this RSS feed, and let's just republish it, take the RSS feed and turn it back into website and just publish it on our homepage. That was actually easier than trying to publish the same thing in two places on the same website. Yes?
So what format do your subscribers get this updated information?
They get it in that XML RSS format, but you don't really need to know that. When you, there's various...
Is that an email?
What they see, let me see if I can show you an example. There's a service called BlogLines, which does this. And can I log in? Let's see. There's various ways to do this. What do you mean it hasn't been confirmed yet? All right, I may have to ignore that. Essentially, you have a piece of software that's like an email client, and you get just the text of the website update. So you don't get all the formatting around it. You just get the text. And some people publish it so that there's only a summary or the first paragraph, and you have to click, and then it takes you to the website. But what it lets you do is you can skim through a bunch of headlines. It's sort of almost like a wire service. So you get, imagine your email program and the new emails, you get the subject line, and you have to click on it to see what the body is. Very similar to that. So this is very convenient. Now, I'm going into this, it's not really all that necessary for you to know, except that anytime you set up a blog on any of these services, this happens for you automatically, unless you tell it otherwise. Your blog, your website, automatically publishes these summaries that people can subscribe to, which is good, because that means people can read your site more conveniently. So let's get back to where we are in the slides here. Right, I guess I gotta reload. Sorry. Okay, back to the slides. All right. So that's about that. How can I possibly get all that together in 15 minutes? Well, we're going to do it right now, and then I'll go on some more. So it is now 1:35. So we need to be done by 1:50. Okay? Okay. So we're going to start off by going to that first one I talked about, blogger.com. You don't necessarily have to take notes here because their instructions are actually pretty good. So blogger.com, this is one of the first services that let you do this. And it started in 1999. And I started using it in 2000, and I'm still using it to run my website. The real hardcore techie people if I were starting now, I would do something different. But I have 6 years of stuff in here, and it's hard to change over, so I haven't bought it. Some people think this is a bit limited. The nice thing about this is that there is no... You don't have to put anything anywhere else. You don't have to set up your own domain if you don't want to. You don't have to arrange anything with any kind of hosting company. You don't have to install anything on your computer. We're going to have it set up here, and it will be done, and you'll be able to update it. So any suggestions on what I should do first? Okay, good. They've done a good job by having this huge orange thing saying create your blog now. Okay, choose a username. Can somebody suggest to me a username?
Editor.
I will bet you $100 that that's taken. There are something on the order of at least hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of people using this service. So
blogger backwards.
Blog. I'll try. What is that? Can somebody do it for me?
Reg.
No,
Regal.
Oh, Bulger. Okay. I'm guessing this won't work either. I'm going to do a password. I'm just going to make that editors because we're not looking for heavy security here. Retype your password because if you can't type it twice, then it's probably not a good one. Display name.
Is just one word.
Hmm?
The username is just one word.
Username, yeah. Usually, I don't think you can do spaces in it. You can probably do upper and lowercase and stuff like that. I don't know. As a computer guy, I tend to just try doing everything all lowercase because it's easier to type. Display name, we'll make it editors conference 2006. The email address, I will use mine so that I can actually get some email. And I hereby sell my soul to you. Let's see if this works.
Does that have to be an email address that's already, you're not creating a new one?
You're not creating a new address. This is one so that it depends. I haven't done this in a while. They might send you a confirmation email, for example, to make sure that you actually exist. So it should be an address that you can... This is your existing address. They don't put it out there on the website.
What if you want a new one that goes with this new site?
That's... In what we're going to do right now, that's not possible.
Yeah. But could you link a new email address on there once you've built
it? You could. Oh, yeah. You could. What I'm going to show you is you'll see... What we're going to get here is not a website that has your own domain right away. It's not going to be, myfabulouswebsite.ca. It's going to be something that belongs to Blogger to start with. There are ways to get around that, and I'll come up with that. But we're doing it in 15 minutes, so we're not doing everything. So here we go. Sorry, this username is not available. I figured I'm going
to...
Yeah, well, let's try... how about editors conference 2006? Just make it the same. Okay, EAC conference 2006. Yay! Okay, that worked. Okay, so we have that. I'll have to remember that at EAC conference. Okay, and then what do we want to call this now? It's a blog. Every time you see the word blog, just think website. What do we want to call this website? Art. Think about that, please. It can be anything.
How to.
Sorry, what was that?
Biff.
Biff. It's now called Biff. You can change this at any time. What you can't change is this next bit. So I'm gonna make an executive decision and call it editor or EAC conference 2006. Now you'll notice here's where the thing is. It's .blogspot.com. This is where Blogger puts your website. Now there is an advanced setup down here. If you get yourself your own website, there are ways you can, and this is what I do, you can set it up so that when you publish from Blogger, it automatically takes the files and puts them on wherever your web server is. And then everything is something you own. In this case, you don't
own domain.
Your own domain, anywhere you want to put it.
So you can see your domain and then that'll go there.
Yeah, we can do that later, or you can do it when you set it up. In fact, I'll show you what it looks like. You still put your blog's title. Listed means does Blogger refer to it? And this information you get here, this is stuff that you can get from when you sign up with somebody who gets you a yourname.com domain. They'll give you most of this information for you to fill in. Essentially, what happens here is that when you set it up the generic way that we're going to do, Blogger puts it on its own computer in its own rack in some facility, and they're owned by Google, so who knows, Mountain View, California, or any number of places. And they own that, and they own the blogspot.com domain. So you're sort of, renting space in that case. If you do it here, instead of just directly going onto their machine, what it does is it generates the text files, and then it ships them off over the internet using this information to some other computer that you have access to that lets them get these files. It's really the same thing. This just lets you do it in your own way. I will talk about that.
If you set that up, will it come on just for half a second and say blogger.com before it goes? Or
no, it just goes right
there.
It just
goes straight.
Yeah, like my website, you would never know unless I told you that I'm using Blogger to run. Okay, so let's... Oh, Biff. Let me see. Is that the one I did? Yes, I think so. What did I do? 2006 conference. Okay, and then this thing here, VC, you've probably seen these everywhere. This is basically the fault of all the spammers, because one of the things that people do when they're trying to make money off the internet is they set up a whole bunch of free websites like this, and they create software that tries to create them automatically, and then they try and put ads on them and try and get people to link to them. There's a whole problem around that. And what this is supposed to do is prove that there is an actual human being doing this and not a piece of software, because software can't usually interpret this very well. It's one of the things people are good at that computers aren't. But of course what that means is that some of the spammers who are making a lot of money have just hired a whole ton of people in India or China to set these up for them. It's always a bit of a war, Anyway, we won't get too many of that. Continue. I've only got 15 minutes. I can't ramble on too much. Okay, and then you choose a template. So they have a bunch of preset templates. It is perfectly possible, for example, my website, I created the template on my own. If you do have web design skill or you want to hire somebody to do this, they can create you a totally custom template that looks just like yours. But as I said, get out of that anal retentive type A personality and just go with good enough, because you can also do that later.
It's
fine.
Can your web guy, web provider guy, someone you might hire, can he go in later and go around with it?
You can go in later and do pretty much anything you want with any of this. The only thing you're locked into, in fact, I'm not even sure that's true, when you first start is that whatever you picked, .blogspot.com. You can move that to another domain somewhere else very easily, and you may even be able to change that. There's very little restriction here. I mean, you can go in, you can delete everything you've ever written, you can edit everything you've ever written, you can change the design of it, you can move it somewhere else, you can temporarily take it offline if you want, you've got a lot of control, so you don't have to worry. You're not really locking yourself into very much.
If someone is an actually talented web designer,
yeah,
you could say, yeah, can you do something like this afterwards?
And if they're a talented web designer and you say, I've got it running through Blogger, they might go, Blogger. But they'll know what to do. And if they do that, maybe hire somebody else. So you have a whole bunch of choices here. These templates were all created by... Now, it's pretty hard to create a template that can apply to anybody in the whole world who wants to start a website. So they've done a reasonable job here. And in fact, one of these... Sorry.
I'm just going to ask you, for any of those templates that you choose, can you decide what of your text goes into each of those templates?
Not immediately.
That gets preset.
Yeah, when you first do this, in your 15-minute version, certain text goes in certain places. You can change that later, but don't worry about it.
Does it tell you where it's putting?
You'll see. In fact, it'll show you. I'm going to pick this one called Snapshot, and the reason I'm going to pick it is because this guy used to sit at the desk next to me at my company, and now he's gotten way too famous as a web designer, and he left the company, but he's here in Vancouver, Dave Shea, and I'm going to show you some of his stuff later. So you click Preview Template if you want, and it shows you, this is sort of Greek text that doesn't mean anything, but this shows you, when you type entries, they're going to show up over here, like this, and you could put pictures in. Stuff. This will be a thing about you if you actually enter this information. And this will be previous posts we use. So it's all structured for you. And when you enter something new, it goes on the top here. Automatically, the most recent one is underneath, and it also shows up here in the recent posts. The archives get generated automatically. If you had to do this yourself, even if you know what you're doing, if you had to do it manually, every time you updated your website, it would take you an hour. Even if all you were doing was writing one sentence. And I used to do it this way, and I would update my website every 3 months. Now I do it once or sometimes several times every day. And I've been doing that for 6 years. And you can imagine that makes a lot of text. So we're going to pick this one. We could pick any of them. You can change them at any time. You can go in and do your own, whatever. So I'm going to pick that one. Continue. I'll let you guess what it's doing now. Your blog has been created. Okay. And you notice what it does is it doesn't say, go look at it. It says, start posting. What it's telling you is, before you go look at how beautiful your website is, put something on it. And this is the great thing about a blog, is that it encourages you. It makes it dead easy for you to post something on there. And there's no rules about this. You don't have to put something there every day or every week or every year. But what it means is that even if you're building a website and all it is your personal sort of brochure as an editor. When you want to update your website, you just go do it. You go log into this and say, I just edited this big famous book, and here's a link to Amazon, and you use the link that like gives you a cut so that you actually make some money off of it instead of what they paid you to edit it. That sort of thing. I'd say this was an editor's site. You would say, hi, I'm Biff. And I can edit stuff for you.
We're just spelling the same.
Really? I can.
Professional stuff.
Yeah. Super duper professional. I'll do one S. Okay. Remember, let go of the type A personality. Let it go. I'll show you how you can fix this. So this is what you got there. The preview here doesn't show you what it's actually going to look like on your website. It just shows you, there's going to be a big chunky title, and then there's going to be some text underneath it. This is the typical structure of any blog post. Think of it as sort of a journal entry. There's a title, and then there's whatever's underneath it. And you can do all sorts of stuff with that I'll show you. But so you can save as draft if you don't want people to see it yet. You can click this little thing down here and say, I want to pretend that I wrote this at 12. I want somebody to think I was doing this really late at night, so I wrote it at almost 1 o'clock in the morning today, and I actually did it in April, the 18th. So as you can see, you have some decent control. You could even say that you did it tomorrow if you want. Say, so it says published, and then you can click this button, View Blog, and there it is. Whew, 2 minutes to spare. Okay, that's with all the rambling.
From the moment that you first created the blog, you had a couple of minutes where there was nothing in it.
Yeah.
But someone, meanwhile, could have signed in to see your empty blog, right?
Presumably, if they somehow could have guessed that address that it's at, which is this. Oh, no, sorry, the this. If someone just randomly guessed the existence of that address, yes, they could have. And wouldn't that have been a tragedy? Oh my God, there's a website with nothing on it. Okay. Yes?
Why is there no www
up here? Because www is just a convention that doesn't really need to exist. You can type it if you want. I mean, it'll still get you there. All the www... In fact, I may as well discuss this just so that... Because that's a good question. The way a web address is structured, as you've probably figured out, is the sort of most general... It's almost like a postal address. The most general thing is the furthest on the right. So .com means that it's commercial. I mean, even that is arbitrary. You know, it means it's a website, really. Used to be that that had some meaning. I mean, something still do. If it says .mil, it belongs to the U.S. military. Be careful. If it says .ca, presumably it's in Canada. Although it's not entirely necessary that it is. Used to be that that was more rigorous. Essentially, that's saying that's the top-level domain, they call it. Next to that is usually the thing that you or the service that you're renting from owns. In this case, it's called Blogspot. For me, it's a pen machine that I happen to own and I've, you know, gotten the rights to. Anything before that is, theoretically, in the scheme of things, it's the name of a particular computer within that domain. So in this case, we're talking about, and that's not real, that's the original way it was organized. Really what that means is that's just a particular address. And www, it means World Wide Web. It means this is a website. Because it's quite possible, and when the web was new, it was more common, that it could have been something else. It could have been ftp.penmachine.com, which would have been a file transfer protocol server. And if you pointed at it with a web browser, it wouldn't have known what to do. It could have been another thing called Gopher, which was sort of a precursor to the World Wide Web. Gopher.penmachine.com. And if you pointed at it with a web browser, it would have gone, huh? And you wouldn't have gotten anything back. So originally, the www was just a way to say this is a web server as opposed to some other kind of computer. But given that now everything's sort of assumed to be that, a lot of the time, you know, you can go to my website and just go penmachine.com, and there you are. The www is sometimes necessary and sometimes isn't. In this case, because they've got blogspot.com, they've just put you or us or Biff in this case as the next level over. So it's really just an arbitrary thing. The triple W is, in most cases, unnecessary now. It's a convention. Sort of like what's an analogy to it? It's sort of like saying, front door at 1632 Hastings Street, Vancouver. I mean, it's obvious, yes. You should go to the front door unless it tells you to do something else. But you can do that. Yes?
That's not live, though, right?
Yeah, this is live. This is...
Don't let you do that without paying something?
No, it's totally free.
Oh, really?
This is another reason why it's a good way to do it. This costs you nothing.
Why does it cost nothing?
Because it's owned by Google, and they have lots of money, and, well, there's a reason beyond that. The first reason it was free is because it was built by idealistic internet people who like things to be free. And then they figured out how to make money out of it. And what you can do, you'll notice that if you sign up for this, over time, as you're getting into your administrative interface and stuff, you'll see little things on the sign saying, hey, you know, you can put ads on your site. And that's not just a purely, you know, they're not saying, we want you to put ads on the site. What they say is, you can put ads on your site and we'll give you a cut, which they will. So if you go to my website...
You have to have a certain amount of traffic and then they make that offer.
No. You can put ads on there with no traffic, and what it means is you just won't make any money. But if you ever get traffic, you'll make some money. And Google will make more, because you don't actually get a very large percentage.
So Google's tracking all the hits to the blog?
Yeah. I mean, that's how Google works in general anyway. They've just... What Google did is that they created a search engine, and I'll talk about this more later too. They created a search engine that indexes all the web pages on the web, and then they figured out a way, hey, we've got all this stuff, why don't we figure out a way to make ads that are relevant to the page that something's on? And that's because I talked about telescopes. I mentioned here, talked about my dad's telescope. And you'll notice there's an ad on the page now for telescopes. Once that thing about telescopes scrolls off the bottom of my home page, there won't be an ad about telescopes anymore. It'll be about whatever I talked about more recently.
So,
no. So they provide this service totally free, no obligation. In fact, you don't even have to.
So how much have you gotten from them on apps?
I have a reason. I have what you would call a moderate to low traffic website. In the grand scheme of things, I get about. This sounds like a lot. I get about 1,000 people a day coming to my website, mostly from random Google searches on because I have so much stuff on there. And I'll talk about why that's useful later. But so I get about 1,000 people a day. And I don't know how many of them exactly. I could figure out how many of them are clicking through ads and stuff. But essentially, about every 6 weeks, I get a check from Google for about $120. Not bad. Pays for my website, right? It takes a while to get that kind of traffic, though. I mean, typically, you set up a web. I mean, if you go to the conference website, I don't know if any of you noticed, down at the bottom here, you can actually see who's visited or how many people have visited. There's a visitor statistics link. So in this case, returning visitors, whatever, page loads, unique visitors is really the number you're looking at, this blue bar. So the website, the conference website has gotten somewhere between 75 and 100 and some odd visitors a day. And this is when the conference is happening, so this is about as busy as it's ever going to be. We don't have ads on there because it's not a commercial enterprise and it's not going to be around that long. But if we put ads on there, maybe depending on, and it all depends on whether people click on the ads. It's not just whether they see them, it's whether they click on them and actually go somewhere. And typically that rate is maybe 0.5%, 1% if you're lucky. And different people pay different amount. It's a very mysterious kind of thing. But essentially, it's dead easy for you to put the ads on the website. So if you want to, if you don't feel uncomfortable with doing that, it's basically free money.
So you don't control who the ads are, but at least they're not flashing format, right?
No, they're
those are unobtrusive.
They're very unobtrusive, and this is why Google is making money hand over fist. Most of their money comes from two sources. It comes from these ads on all people's websites, or it comes from the ads that when you actually go to Google and type something in, conference. These ads over here. Conference call, conference venues, total conference services. I mean, this is kind of general, but if you look for something very specific, you get some very specific ads there, which may be very relevant to what you're doing, and you click on those, and whoever placed the ad has to pay some money, and Google gets the money. So they make, you know, Google makes billions of dollars, and it comes out of this, and it comes out of ads on sites like mine. And I don't make billions of dollars.
But they can't go on your site. You can do it to access your site with your password.
Right. Essentially, you just put a little bit of code in there that whenever somebody loads the page, it goes to Google and says, give me some ads, please.
And you know that thing at the bottom that says last modified?
Yeah.
Can you control that? Or is that...
Because
I did research based on that, and I was just wondering now that they put the time in there, so I just wondered...
Here. This is... remember when I went in and changed what it was?
I mean the thing at the bottom you see on sites last
I do mine manually. There are ways to do it automated, but it's not built into this.
I thought it was done automatically.
Yeah, but here, I mean, this is telling you when it was last modified.
Yeah, I know, but if you didn't understand, like... when you go to somebody's website, you go down the bottom, it's last modified. Is that actually when it was last modified?
Not necessarily. Could be a total lie.
That's interesting.
Don't trust anything on the internet. It could all be a total lie. Yes?
So this is a type and the headings, where it says about me.
Yeah.
I don't want to use me on my website, but, you know, if you said about the owner or about the name.
Yes, in fact, this here is what we entered when we set it up, if you notice. And in fact, I'll show you, once you've set this up, when you go to blogger.com, you can sign in now. So we're already signed in. This is another... So essentially, if I'd signed out, I would need to enter that name and password again. But I'm signed in, and now it gives me, instead of the create your blog thing, it gives you this, and it gives you your blog name, and you can change the settings. So you can go in here and say, there's basically a bunch of tabs, and you can say, this is stuff about the website. Where's the actual profile? Well, I guess that's probably back here, back to dashboard. Oh, yeah. Add your photo here by editing your profile. So you can say, yeah, show my real name, show my email address if you want to be scary. Show which blogs I have. You can add a photograph it says find out how to upload a photo. It really does step you through this stuff. So I'm not going to go through all of it, but you can modify all that. And if you want to get in there and actually change how the web page looks, you can go in and manually change the template. This is where your web designer would help you. This is the same web page style code that we were talking about before. You can go in there and change it from saying about me to about the proprietor or whatever. So you can do that, but as I said, feel free to just go put this up, because although it may bother you that things are not exactly the way that you want, chances are anyone visiting the site is not going to care.
Except
Redditors.
Except
Redditors.
People expect us.
Yes. Well, what I'm saying is you shouldn't have spelling mistakes. Mm-hmm. But if the phraseology of the about me is not exactly what you want, I don't think any of your potential customers would necessarily mind. And you don't have to publicize this website until it's far enough along that it actually has something that's worthwhile to you. It's probably a good idea not to. Set it up, start posting, start doing some stuff, start building some, you know, and what you can do is you can post, in fact, let me go here and I'll go, okay, edit posts. And then we'll go back to that one we just did and you say, oh, I made a spelling mistake. Put the S in, publish. And now it's fixed. So if you make a mistake, you can fix it. And this is the thing about a website. It's always under construction. If you remember those web pages from 10 years ago that said under construction, that's why that was so useless, because any website is always under construction if it's any good at all. If you put up a website and never change it, it's not really any good to anybody. So if you make a mistake, don't panic about it. I make typos when I write these posts all the time. And sometimes people point out to me that I made a typo 2.5 years ago in a particular post. And I go, thanks, I'll go fix that. I mean, you know as editors that it's never perfect, right? And people, unless it's riddled with errors, people are not going to go, oh, I made one typo 2.5 years ago. Can't hire this person. Because you know what? The people who are hiring you, the reason they're hiring you is because they don't even spot those things.
Yeah.
Right? And the people who have spotted them tend to be editors. And I don't want editors to hire me. They don't have any money.
If you use this and you used your own name and it went live right away, is it going to search engine?
Eventually. It'll take a few days or weeks probably.
Because the label of your question is relevant so far as...
Yeah.
If you're trying to do something, you want it offline to be proved it.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it on there, have it live immediately. Then you come back to more of a cycle. Someone in the meantime, the search engine you and found this. And they say,
The way that generally works, I'll get to you in a sec. The way that generally works is it actually, with a brand new website, Google is not going to index it unless somebody reasonably big like me links to it right away. They will index it eventually. And in fact, if when in your setup, you remember that thing where it said, do you want it listed or not listed? If you say no, that means Blogger's not going to put it in the new blogs today listing or the highlighted blogs. And in fact, there's pretty much no way anybody would find it unless you pointed to it. And if you, one of the secrets about the web, it's not entirely true, but it's mostly true. If you put up a website and nobody points to it and you don't link to it from anywhere, nobody can find it. So it won't show up in Google until somebody links to it. And even if they did, as a brand new website, one of the things Google and the other web search engines do is they say, well, this is a brand new website. It has no reputation. I'm not gonna look at it for a while. And eventually it would show up, but if you set up your site, I mean, if you do this and have your typo in there and then don't do anything with it for 6 months, yeah, it might show up in Google. And, you know, another thing to do is to set up the website and don't put your name on it yet. Set it up, play with it for a while, figure out whether you're actually going to keep updating it, and then change it, and then put your name on it once it's decent enough for you to be happy with. I mean, that's what I did with my website. I just, you know, what you could do with a website. Another thing you could do is just scan your business card and put it on your website and then until you've got something going. But anyway, I mean, you know, we're talking quick and dirty here. And, you know, these, you should go in and edit some of this stuff. It'll help you to get into the template and see what you can do because it's really not that complicated. You had a question.
Yeah, two questions. First is, a few years ago, I remember I just my home computer, I just have a Hotmail address.
Yeah.
Right? And I remember hearing at the time that you're not really taken too seriously by Hotmail.
Yeah.
Is there a similar .blogspot
Yes.
Kind of a thing.
There is, although surprisingly not as much as you might think, because there are some very high profile people who have blogs at blogspot.com. The ease of doing it sort of pushes past the inertia of people going, well, you really should have your own domain. It still is worthwhile having your own domain for other reasons. But it's, yeah, there is some, there is some, what would you call it?
Cachet.
Lack of cachet,
yeah,
to having a Blogspot domain. So we'll get to that.
Okay,
yes,
the second question is that you said you could just have it, it'd be useful to just have your brochure or something,
yeah,
on there if that's what you wanted. But then the way that it's set up, there are comments and,
yeah,
it makes it look like you're going to be posting.
Yeah. Well,
the comments, is that just anybody can randomly put stuff and you have no control?
You can turn those off.
Okay.
In that administrative interface, you can say, no, I don't want comments. And you can, you know, what I would suggest is, you know, if you really want to get into it, you're going to need to make some modifications to what the site looks like. If you go in there and click on that template thing and actually look through what's there, it's not really as complicated as you might think. All you got to do is find the text that says about me or whatever, and if you don't want it there, you can delete it and things like that. But and you can turn stuff like that off if all you want is basically your profile there,
like your work samples.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
What you can do is, in fact, I'll show you the other service I was going to talk about, because we're going to do it again. We're going to do it with something else. Because there, the other service I was talking about, which is at WordPress.com. WordPress is a similar idea to Blogger, but WordPress originally started as software that you could, that as a web techie person, you could download, install on your own web server, run it all sort of yourself, so that instead of logging into blogger.com, you would just go to your own website and a special address and type in a username and password, and you sort of had control over everything. That's, I mean, it takes a bit of hacking around to get that to work. So people kept asking them, well, why don't you set up something like Blogger where we don't have to think about that? So they did. So if you go to WordPress.org, you can download the software and do all that stuff. Or if you just want to get it working, you go, what's the guess? I'll give you a hint. Okay, get a WordPress blog now. Looks somewhat similar. Let's do our EAC conference. Oh, wow, they make a big type in here. Email address. We'll send your password. See, Blogger didn't actually send us any email at all, but we'll send your password to this address, so triple check it. I like this. I've read and agreed to the fascinating terms of service. I always appreciate web services that have a sense of humor. So here, give me a blog or just a username. It's possible to set up, this is an aside, it's possible to set up a blog at Blogger or here where there are a bunch of people contributing to a single website. And for example, if you have an organization where you have several editors and they just want to have one website, this is a great way to do it because they can each make their own post that has their name at the bottom of it so you know who did what. But anyway, that's an aside. So give me a blog. And here, same kind of thing, username.wordpress.com. So let's say Biff 2006. Blog title, Biff the Editor. Let's do it like this. What language will you be blogging in? Wow, I don't even know what some of these are. That's really cool. I'm going to say English, just because that's my guess. And here, this is even more clear. I would like my blog to appear in search engines like Google, so I will say, no, not right now. You can change this later. And notice they say here, want to download WordPress and run it yourself? They actually, if you click through this link, you can also go to services that will do the setup for you and give you your own domain and do all that. That one I linked to called NetFirms is one of those. So if you want to sort of go sort of halfway here, where you don't want to download, you don't want to get all the techie stuff, but you do want your own domain, you don't want it to be at WordPress.com, and you want some help, there are plenty of these internet providers who will charge you a little bit of money to get that happening. And that's a good way to go as well. And in fact, they can probably point you to some web designers who can help you out. That's not a bad way. What I'm doing here is the totally free, quick and dirty method. I like the way they write things a bit better. It's yours. Before you can start using it, you must activate it. So in my case, I have to go check my email. And fortunately, I do all my email on the web. I do it through Google, too. Oops, but I better spell my own name right. So I go in here, and you're going to be able to see all my email, as well as my spam.
Oh,
my
God.
So here we go. So you get an email, and it says, to activate your blog, please click the following link. And it does something. It takes a few seconds. Hello? Anyway, while it's doing whatever it's doing, what is it doing?
Well, you could do something offline anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, it's presumably doing its thing. So we've set up one there. The nice thing about WordPress is that in addition to doing those kind of posts, it also lets you easily create pages that are separate from that. So you could say, work samples. And all you do is you have a page and you type in what you want. You can upload PDF files or whatever else, or link to other places where stuff and resources appear.
Blogger doesn't let you do that?
Blogger, no. Blogger is, all it is a blog. It's just, but what you can do is you can make a post that consists of, here are my work samples, and you can link to other things, or a post that is one of your work samples, or a chunk, you know, any. The nice thing about it is it's all chronological and you can point to it any way you want. Or if you have something somewhere else, you can say, here's my latest update, which is this book that I just published, like I said before, and you point to Amazon or whatever. So it does let you do that, but it's a bit clunkier. WordPress is a little more flexible, presuming that it actually... Oh, there we go. Let's log in. So we're going to go acconf. That's 256. Oh, I better look at my password. Oh, after you activate it, you will receive another email with your login. Okay. Basically, this is another way to prevent these spammers from setting up a gazillion blogs. So it gives me this crazy password, which you can change. So, and in fact, it gives me a link to do it from. So I'll go acconference 2006. I just copied and pasted that password. And it has a thing from, okay, so here we are. It's already created things for me. Now, it picks a generic template, but you can change all that. It actually has a little thing here, site admin. There's a link down here. If you're not logged in, this stuff doesn't show up. It just has a login link, which anybody can click, but unless they know your username and password, you won't be able to get in. So I click site admin, or it even has an edit right here to edit that post, and that doesn't appear for anybody except you. So you can do stuff here. It's a similar thing, a little bit different. Again, you do have to learn something here. The best thing I find with any computer stuff is just go in there and start clicking everything to see what it does. So in this case, I would click all these links and I would discover that manage shows me a listing of all my stuff. And in this case, I could say edit. And it gives me a very similar thing to what Blogger did, very slightly different. In fact, it has more, it lets you set up categories, so you could have different things, you know, so you could say work samples and, you know, yoga, whatever else you want to talk about. You can set up an indefinite number of, I mean, there's probably a limit, but it's probably many thousands of things. So you could say, okay, I'm going to change this. I'm going to say, I am Mr. And in this case, if I want to make a link to something, it's as simple as this. I highlight it, and I say, link, and it asks me, where is that going to go? I don't even know if I have to put in the HTTP stuff, and I'll say Derek's website, and it even lets you choose, do I want to open this in the same window or in a new window? I recommend same window, because new window usually just annoys people. But and then you say save. And it has this link up here that says view site. And there it is. Derek showed me how to do this. If I click that, it takes me over to my site. So that's the basics of that. And I think that took us even less than 15 minutes, if I'm correct. Jeez, it's already 2:15. I better get moving. And other things you can do here in the site admin is you can go to the stuff like presentation and say, well, I don't really like that template. Let's try this lovely green one. A calm, relaxing theme. It says, oh, okay, new theme activated. It was as simple as that. There it is. That's the same website.
Can you do the same thing when you're creating your own web page as
yeah.
opposed to a blog? They give you templates?
Yeah. Well, it's a template set. So in this case, for example, if I go to edit, or I go into the editing interface of some sort, that's a really nice template. I haven't seen that one before. If I go in here and here there's a link for write, and it gives you options of which kinds of things to write. So it's write post or write page. And in this case, if I write a page, I could say about me. And there's differences here. You can save and continue editing, which doesn't publish it. You can save or you can publish. In this case, I'm going to publish because I want it to be there.
Once you save it, where does it save to?
Well,
to that particular site?
Yeah.
It doesn't save to your hard drive or anything like that?
No, it doesn't save to you. This is all remote. So I could go to my computer, I could go to another computer, I could go to my friend's house and get exactly this because it's all on the web. And this is a great benefit. So in this case, I don't know how I get to that other page.
The top.
Oh, there we go.
No.
Oh, here, about, yes. So that shows up there.
I think it's the one
it's
the next
about
one.
Me.
About,
oh,
me.
About me. Thank you. So those would show up there, and presumably you'd run out of space eventually. But it was as easy as that. So you could put your portfolio in there. Very straightforward. And again, you can go in and change these templates. It's a little more complicated in here than it is in Blogger. But also, any web designer, if you say I'm using WordPress, hey, look, they'll probably go, oh, WordPress, okay. And then they'll... So... Blogger has a bit of a lower reputation than WordPress, but the reasons are technical and obscure and geeky and not really worth discussing. Anyway, so that's two websites within their 15 minutes span.